Major Plowman, Reel 9. You were saying that after the Colonel had done his O group in the shell hole, he gave the squadron.
Yes, he became involved in that action, which I'm not sure about.
Yes.
He didn't hear much about it until afterwards. At the end of the day, he came to our squadron to tell our squadron that he would die. And the death of the C squadron leader, because there was such close friend. That's really all I remember about that day. Mm-hmm. The following day, I was in the lead again. And I say I was in the lead again, it could have been that we were not. Well, 3-2 o'clock.
Yes. But.
On my center,
how far would it be from you to the next door troop if there was another one up?
I didn't see much, 1,000 yards, something like that. Mm.
Could you see them usually?
No.
No.
I didn't see them. It's the nature of the country. Mm. Anyway, my start was, I think, the Gold Salmon.
Yes.
Which was more or less where we'd be with these, Indians, I'm sure. Mm. And I thought that it was across tracks, and we had to get it. It's the sort of place that for getting housing fires there.
It sounds very much like a suitable registered target.
I went to Chorton and I went to a big dugout, a French Canadian headquarters. And I went in there and tried to get some local information because it was very important. And anyway, they were all talking in the patois, and I didn't seem disposed to pay any attention to me. So I went back to my tank, and to my surprise, sitting down, that car was my commanding officer. And he made his mouth and he said, I think the morning came, you're there. My oldest girl and I was working for a week from Stanley to try and just going to the local infantry position, but I couldn't get any information now, so I'm going to work it for all straight away. He said, very good. And left me to it. And we went forward and we came across the minute. The rifle brigade chaps and company on them. And I felt sorry for them. It was lovely weather, but they think it was heavy dew. And they think it was all this long grass. And at the beginning of the day, they were wet through. But I know it was soon dry.
What were they doing? Were they in defensive positions or? Yes. Yeah. Were they moving forward or were they? Yes. Yes.
And then they came across the chap who was meant to be supporting us, and went in the tank. He was over the RHA. OPs in the tank, and he wasn't very used to bricks. He was to be the one to provide support. And we were there to be going on. We were on a constant shell fire.
What sort of shell fire? Was this?
Not too big. Not really big stuff, I suppose, but it Because if you go to hit, it would do a lot of damage. It's impossible to operate without a patch over.
Oh.
But anyway, the one felt quite safe at the time. But that was the time. I don't know how this honey threw a track. We must have been trying to pan out. Well, it got bogged in one of them.
How far ahead?
We did a tail.
How far ahead of you was the honey what sort of intervals would you have between vehicles normally when you were doing an advance on a single axis?
Depending on the field of view, of course. Only 200 or 300 yards
at most. Yes.
And in these circumstances, you're not left, about 50. This incident of the girl, the good girl, and I think the honey, yes, the honey. The honey was out of action. Couldn't do it. I remember the terrorists. And then after that, being short of the honey.
So just two Shermans and one honey at that stage, yeah.
And then we carried on. And we were on this track. We just reached this, it's like a rectangle. Came to this, we found this track, and on our left is a rectangle of grass field. The short side being immediately where we got to, and the long side. And the trees all round, low trees, not very big trees. Overgrown orchard type scrub, woodland. And at the far end, the camel was.
How far away was that, the far end of the field?
Yeah. And so we stayed and machine gun. And Germans came back and they had some very young. And they said, well, you can't really well. So I had to send them back with another, the other army.
How many of them were there?
And we're down to the two Shermans. So they carried on to the end of this grass field. And the track that straight on, there's another track that went off diagonally to the right. And at this cross, at this junction, I could see the spread of wide black mark. And it went off down.
Down to the right.
Yeah. So my axis was straight on. And I carried on then, reading, until we got to this the green corner, draw money back in the green and obviously the winter return. Torrent, down at the yard, it just wasn't the bottom. Share side is not possible by an attack. And there were a few houses, and we arrived at the southern tip of Aguila, which was one of the bastions in the and our pit of fire. It's a rapid appeal of the part of the Gustav line, and we'd heard about this further line. I've been in that job for a little bit behind it, it would be stronger even than it was. It wasn't the case. But in that we were narrow. Well, throughout the world, there was a detention. There were some.
Was there any bridge over the ravine that you ran up to? So your track came to an end at that point. Yeah.
And people came out of the house and welcomed them. And I got out to try and find out what was going on. And they were in a terrible state of shell shock. They were all there, but welcoming us and so on. They were terrified. And then I left one sergeant tank down this road between two. A street behind the buildings, a narrow street.
Was this running parallel to the ravine? Yes.
And got to a point where I wouldn't have taken time. Well, it was 7 hours, I thought, well, if I get in there, I'm trapped. You know? So I took another chap. Cars, local protection. And I went up on foot. And it got up there, San Tomaso. Of course, Aquino is named after St. Thomas Aquinas is named after Aquino.
Yes.
And I remember seeing number 47, and that struck me greatly because 47 was a tactical number on the boundary. And all the houses were in ruins, in shell fire, in the shell fire. And then we got, you could see it out from there, we got to the end. And it was this market square, and we could see the old Germans walking about rather warily. Before that, we had gone into one of these buildings. We could see light vehicles on the other side of the ravine, on the road barrel, coming to going obviously towards the bridge into the green.
How wide was the ravine at that point?
20 yards. So, in observation over this market could have a bit, and then I'm going to give back and report from this.
Do you have any idea of how many Germans you saw? Or what they were up to?
They weren't very wily. They were stealing about, rather, as if they were immediately. Of course, you have at the time where it was happening, one of my troops was an aerodrome at the Queen Anne, which was to my right, and the troop to my right. They advanced across the aerodrome, of course, they got attacked on Cairo. And the troop further on, they were all held back. There was strong opposition. And the only reason I got through, I think, was because the anti-tank gun screen had moved. Oh. No more. These tracks were going up. He should have been waiting there for me.
But he'd gone. Do you think this? He was a self-propelled anti-tank gun then? Yes.
Of course, I got back to the town and reported another thing to see. Well, I'd already reported that to what I think it could be. This made people very excited, of course, if you read them. And thought that the infantry would follow up sharp to occupy these buildings and get a foothold in the town. And it didn't happen.
Do you know why that was?
Wasn't an idea, but it didn't. Anyway, so I went back to the tank, but then it was late afternoon. I told them to stay there, keep an observation, report everything that happened. And I couldn't really do a lot with two tanks stuck down there.
How often were you supposed to report back when you were on such a reconnaissance? Were you supposed to radio back a report every quarter of an hour or so? Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, but were you supposed to put in a regular situation report as well as reporting any? No. You report ad hoc. Yes. Yes.
Busy network. Some of them was always in trouble.
Yes.
And they weren't getting on too far. Sometimes you're slowing down, sometimes
speed it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How far behind you were the infantry at that stage, do you think? Because you'd passed through the infantry, hadn't you? You'd passed through your own infantry. How far behind you do you think they were? So you've gone 2 miles beyond those rifle brigade chaps, and then you got into the outskirts, yes.
Yes, we took everyone else and buy supplies that we were aware of. Yes, we got on crack fast. And compared with the 2 days before, and there was 2 days, and the 2 days before, there was little movement. Anyway, I was with John at night.
Did you
see? Well, the Germans, this was the day, that was the 18th of May, this we went into the Queen, and that was the day we could see them from. But in the night, the Germans, two crack divisional commanders, I can't remember their names, they reinforced study the iron so quick and withdrew. Seeing the conceit and from and withdrew. In the morning, he was found in very great strength. It took a week for the breakthrough.
You're saying that the, you know, there wasn't as much in the way of prepared defences in the Lion as had been expected. Did you see any fortifications or field works?
Not
on that day.
Other, you see, in our next troop, they lost the tank.
Yes.
After a day, they committed one across the aerodrome. And the first incident, they bought it. The next day, other squadrons were engaged really well, and then the day after that, the regiment was withdrawn for the rest.
What did you? What did he want to know?
I wondered about them, but the other guys were interested in this old man, St. Thomas Aquinas.
A grilling.
And we had our own photograph for the first time, I think, our own photograph. We did have a photograph issue at the start of the battle. And what they had, if you didn't come and hear some of my stories, we were under command of infantry division. And I think they were all used to everything moving at the base of the foot shoulder. And these messages were coming in. And they were, this particular message wasn't given the attention it appeared to want. There's no doubt it could, if we acted as swiftly as the Germans acted, I'm sure that they came back from the line down Castillo and brought back and manned that line all overnight. If we can got them up that evening into that park, just got a tow of it and tell them, and then the green that was seemed to me. It was very easy.
It does sound as though an opportunity was lost. Or,
But when I read this book by Bidwell, the commanding officer was given to them that way. Could we build the officer and respond to the commanding officer? No, it was absolutely liable. Peter Van Grover was absolutely popular that evening. And there's no question that I was able to give you the street name. Anyway, I wrote to Peter. It had never been mentioned at all. It would have been surprising in the scale. And what I thought was a very good book out of that book. I think Alexander the First was in it. He started to say, I've never seen it. You know, I was terrible.
What do you think you might have needed if you had tried to take it by a coup de main? What would you have required? What would you have required to actually take it, you know, if you had managed to take it by a coup de main? As you said, you only had two tanks there, but...
They could have dug into these unoccupied houses in that part of the town, which would have been very useful with the pressure coming from the east and the south. I mean, that would be where north and south.
Yes.
Our troops from where I was to do Route 6 were all pressing, getting on where they could. And the Germans were under great pressure all along the line, that part of the line. And had enemy infantry in the south of the town would have been considerable destruction, if nothing else.
What about artillery? I mean, could you have done anything if you'd had gunner support?
I called for artillery fire at last, and I didn't get anything. So that's what this cabin is. We got a man for the first time, we got an OP in a tank up with us, supposed to be up with us, and when we asked for fire, it didn't come.
No.
And that, to me, that revealed a defect in our fighting way back in North Africa. There haven't been enough all-arms training, in my opinion.
What targets would you have wanted the gunners to engage when you called for...
I called for fire, and nothing happened.
Mm. But what were you wanting to put the fire on?
Nothing. An infantry position.
Did he actually manage to come up and join you?